sing together number 4.
Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. Long I was chained in sin's darkness. Now by His grace I am free. Number 4. We sing number 3. My hope on nothing less is built than Jesus and the blood He spilt. Will somebody start that, please? Number 3.
Thank you. I would like to speak tonight on four passages of Scripture where we find the word remember. Let us look first, please, at the 17th chapter of the Gospel by Luke. Just one verse in each of the passages, and we'll turn back later. The 17th chapter of Luke's Gospel and verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. The 23rd chapter of Luke. And verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. 24th chapter and verse 6. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered up into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And one more scripture in the 16th chapter of Luke's Gospel. And verse 25. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Now let us look back to the 17th chapter, and that first verse I read. And I read this verse first, knowing I know that it was not the gospel here, but indeed I would like to point out to you before we bring you the good news that this world tonight is really like Sodom and Gomorrah. What a world we live in. And I feel sorry tonight, my friends. If you're in this audience without Christ, I ask you, what have you got? The whole world is collapsing around us. Our governments are just falling down, and they're losing reins. They have no more power to do anything, and the whole world's in a mess. And I speak particularly of Canada and the United States that God has so wonderfully blessed. In all the world, there are no two nations that have been so wonderfully blessed as these two countries, and yet I suppose the most ungodly things are taking place in these two countries today, Sodom and Gomorrah. And you'll notice if you look back with me just to the 28th verse of this Luke 17, I think we'll find that we have Sodom right with us tonight. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Now, my friends, isn't this true of this world tonight? The restaurants are packed day and night. They're eating and drinking. You say, what's wrong with that? Here they were eating and drinking without any thought of God. God was pushed out of their lives. Is it not true today? You know it's true. You know that the churches, so-called, the gospel rooms, are practically empty, while the theaters and the ballparks and the hockey arenas and all kinds of amusement parks are packed to the door. God is pushed out of their lives. And how many times and a restaurant, do you find men and women bow their heads before they eat their food? Very few. Very, very few times you see it. They just eat like animals. God is pushed out of their lives. And there was a lady who left Sodom. That is to say, her body left Sodom, but her heart remained in Sodom, and she was the wife of Lot, who we know from the New Testament was a man of faith, a righteous man, but in the wrong position in the world and under the power of Sodom and Gomorrah. How many Christians are like that tonight? They're right in Sodom, right mixed in with this ungodly, Christ-rejecting world. They're right up mixed into the whole business. Maybe you're here tonight, Christian, and you're like this too. And Lot's wife left her heart in Sodom, and notice what happened. It says in the 31st verse, in that day, But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Now God had told them not to look back, but Lot's wife looked back, and because she did, she became a pillar of salt. And no less a person than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, says, remember Lot's wife. And I trust, my friends, tonight, if you come into this room without Christ, on the way to eternal damnation in the lake of fire and brimstone, that you will remember Lot's wife, because you have absolutely nothing to look forward to, as every day when the sun rises in the east, you take a step nearer to the grave and to meet God in judgment. Now, with those words, let us turn to the gospel in the 23rd chapter of Luke. Here we have a man who also was leaving a place. Lot's wife left Sodom. The thief on the cross was going to leave this world. And my friend, you are going to leave this world. You cannot stay here. You just can't stay here. You have to leave this world and go out into God's eternity. Can't stay here. And this man in this chapter, I'm going to read, just look at these verses. See what a wonderful thing is the grace of God. Here was a man who was a sinner. Now, when we speak about a sinner, you may say amen to that. You may say, well, he was a thief, he was a robber, he was a bad man, but I'm not like that. A few years ago, maybe three, we were in Columbus, Ohio, and our beloved brother Robert Kaiser took me to see a man who, he said to me on the way there, I'm going to introduce you to a man who has never, never sinned, he says. This is very interesting to see this man. The Lord made his car stall so he couldn't get out. There he was, stuck in the driveway, doing everything in his power to get out, but he couldn't. I believe the Lord kept him there. By the way, this man is now in eternity. And so I sat in his car beside him and said, isn't it wonderful to know the Lord Jesus as a personal Savior who has cleansed our sins away? Well, he said, sir, but I have never sinned. And I said to him, but sir, your argument is not with me today at all, but your argument is with God. For God says you are a sinner. You say you're not a sinner. And speaking reverently, somebody is telling a lie. And I know it's not God. for it's impossible for God to lie. Well, that man wouldn't listen. He made accusations against our brother, which were not true, trying to get away from the subject of eternity. But now he's in eternity. He's in eternity, and God knows where he is. For there are only two destinations in eternity, not three. There is no purgatory. Either heaven with Christ or hell without Christ. My friend, in this world, you and I must decide where we are going to spend God's eternity. By the grace of God and through the cleansing power of the blood of Christ, I am going to be in the glory. I'm going to be in that wonderful place where disappointment and